You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
Welcome to the Mash Those Buttons show, where we cover the latest in games, community, culture, and everything in between. This week, Cyberpunk 2077 dropped, but did CD Projekt Red drop the ball? The Game Awards announced a ton of stuff, and we have another solid snake that is not David Hayter. This is episode number 32 for the week of December 14th, 2020. I am not Jarrett, but you can call me Nick. And I am here with the spicy dropper, the man who is one-third of a clan, the man who plays, records, edits, sleeps, and repeats, Corey Treadway, a.k.a. Kurabara.
Oh, wow. That's, I think, the best intro I've ever gotten. I love that. Thanks.
Well, you know, Jarrett always hypes me up way more than he needs to. And so I was like, well, if I'm playing Jarrett for the day, I got to hype you up. So, and, you know, you deserve to be hyped up because you do a lot. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me, I should say, not us. Who else is here?
Your cat behind you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you for joining me and my cat, Charlie. Yes. So, Jarrett, as I mentioned, Jarrett's not here. He's not feeling well. So, I hope he feels better. You know, he should presumably be back next week. Yeah, so it's just you and me. You know, we talked about what we got to talk about here. So, let's get into it. What have you been up to?
Well, this week I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft's new expansion, Shadowlands, trying to get my mage up there to be an enchanter. And then I was playing this little indie game called Cyberpunk 2077 that just dropped yesterday.
Let's talk about Shadowlands first, because that's basically the only thing I've been playing. I mean, I play a little bit of Hearthstone as well. But, you know, how are you enjoying Shadowlands so far for as much as you've played?
So far, I've been enjoying it a lot. Like, still wondering if I'm in the honeymoon phase, but, you know, I keep logging in every day, trying to get my missions done, trying to get my levels up so I can eventually do heroics, mythics, and raiding. Not as fast as everybody else who plays it all the time, because I jump around a lot of different games, so I'm not as efficient.
But you're max level, though. I think you're max level on at least, like, two characters, right?
Yeah, my mage actually is about to hit 60 today. So
nice. So yeah, I just finished Maldraxxus. I got into Ardenweald, and I literally walked up to the first person and got the very first quest you get there, and then logged out. So all I'll say is I love the Maldraxxus zone. I was not expecting the decay and slime motif. I really wasn't a fan of, but the story and the characters were really well done, and the end of it, like the way it built up to crescendo, and then finally you find out, you get the recording of the Primus, and it kind of explains everything that's going on. I'm like, okay, this was like a big lore dump that I needed, and now I'm like, I kind of have a better feel for the game. If it felt like that moment when you're playing like an RPG and you play through like the first 10 hours and then you finally get to like, now this is the real game, and everything opens up kinda. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, like now I know what I'm doing. So I enjoyed that part of it.
I really love the story of Maldraxxus, because that was a lot of fun. It's just the only thing I didn't like about area. Motif, zombies, everything else, cool. Thought it'd be my favorite zone. Like the story. Just the way everything was designed made traveling a pain in the butt, because flight paths and everything else were just placed weirdly. I'm like, and if I ever died, it took forever to get back to where I need to go. I'm like, oh, I hate hoofing it.
I could not find an inn for like the first, I don't know, like, almost half, it felt like half, like the half the time I spent in the zone, I couldn't find an inn. And I'm just like, well, I'd like to set my Hearthstone somewhere. And it took even a while to find a flight path before I could really like felt comfortable getting out of there. But, yeah, no, other than that, I enjoyed the zone, and I'm really, enjoying the game. And I know Blizzard is too, because they, announced it is the fastest selling PC game of all time, unseating Diablo 3, which I'm impressed, because Blizzard always, every time an expansion launches, Blizzard always has some kind of little press release ready to go, like, and this one sold the fastest in 24 hours, and this one has our highest, daily active users, I don't know how, they're able to figure out which statistic works out best for them, because it seems it's a different statistic they're promoting every time, but, yeah, this is the fastest selling PC game, which I find interesting, because technically it's an expansion.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about that. Like, does that count with the expansion? Guess
when
so.
And how's when you're beating your own record, I guess you can do what you want.
Yeah.
So,
which is interesting considering, like, the ratings still were looking pretty terrible for the Metacritics, but everybody I know who I played with and has joined me are loving it.
Well, the Metacritic ratings, it's a very specific group of people who have very specific issues with the game, and they're review bombing, basically. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people were in the beta, but the ratings on Metacritic were low from like day one, well before anybody could really have experienced anything, unless they were in the beta. And even then, you're still getting a bit of an incomplete experience in the beta. But
Some things are broken in the beta.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but they're complaining about, the covenants may not have been balanced properly, or the one Metacritic review I saw, they were complaining about the concept of borrowed power, which, like, that's a philosophical disagreement you have with Blizzard. And I've talked about this before on WoW Talk, where, like, the whole concept of borrowed power, that when you get an expansion, they give you a system for leveling up throughout that expansion, and you get abilities, and then at the end of that expansion, they take it away and kind of reset you so that you go into the next expansion and you have to kind of level up and get new power again. That they're trying to fix the problem of the game being 16 years old, and they're trying to put stuff in so that, like, every expansion you feel like you're getting more powerful. Mm-hmm. Because that's part of the standard gameplay, that you continually grow.
Yeah,
but you can't grow infinitely.
Yeah, because we only have so much. Like, even like we're playing on PCs with lots of buttons and the mouse and keyboard, but even now, that's like, I have so many multi bars, just the base abilities. If they kept adding to that, I'd be like, all right, what am I just throwing off here? Just
not even that, and that's absolutely part of it, but. I mean, even then, there was a while they were talking about mega damage, where it's like the number you would see on your damage meters would be actually in the millions, and they were just truncating off zeros, and they were getting to the part where even on, 64-bit computers, they were starting to push the number of bytes that some of the numbers could hold and whatnot. And so it's one thing to look at, like, a single installment of a game, or even like a single installment of a franchise, where it's like, okay, like, you're getting this experience, you're starting here, we know what the level cap and the power cap is going to be, and we can completely curve this out so that we know at any given point in the game where you should be, and maybe you'll, find a way to tweak everything and exceed the power level at certain points, but they can kind of control that. But the thing is, like, a game like, WoW, it has to last. It's basically at this point, like, that they're intending for this to last forever, or at least for a very long time. And that's part of the problem, is that a lot of the systems that they're building it on, when they were designing the game, they were not thinking, like, how do we make these systems extensible and scalable so that, 15 years from now, people can still be adding on to this. And it's an interesting problem to have. It's a good problem for them to have, because their game is so successful that it's lasted this long. But, compare that with a game like Cyberpunk 2077, where, it'll have some DLC and it's going to have some multiplayer, don't call it a mode feature, which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of game that, it's got a definitive endpoint. You're going to play that game and, like, a year from now, you'll finish the DLC. And, yeah, you might be able to go in and do some stuff repeatedly, but you're not... Oh, there's a new, it's not like you're getting endless DLC in that game. You're constantly leveling up, or, your character is going to be growing exponentially over time. So
at least not in that single player part. If they keep doing what we think they do with that multiplayer mode, maybe.
Well, I'm curious, because I've never played the Grand Theft Auto online. And I'm curious how they handle the scaling there, because, like, and I guess especially too with respect to Cyberpunk 2077, I know, like, that has heavy RPG roots. I don't think Grand Theft Auto has quite the same level of RPG customization, but everything's kind of RPG-ish nowadays.
Yeah, based on money and your actual skill, because you can just keep leveling up there to, like, I don't know where the end part, but like when I was played back in the day, someone was like, they like level 200 or something while I was level 50. I'm like, how long you play? Like, since day one. I'm like, cool. I don't know if I want to play to where my save says level 300. That seems a little bit much.
Well, people, I mean, well, you know, talk about another fastest selling PC game of all time. I mean, that's another game that keeps selling like hotcakes for seemingly no good reason. I don't know why it's still so, doing so well. You'd think everybody would have it by now, but that's another one that's always breaking records. But going back to Cyberpunk 2077, you said you were playing that. How has that been?
So far, like there've been like some minor bugs and stuff, but I've been having a great time. I enjoyed like they give you complete freedom in designing your character, so you can make it however you like, and I mean however you like. Like they gave like certain details. I'm like, I wouldn't have even thought of that. Like stuff I can't really mention on the podcast too much.
Yeah, I want to ask some questions and make some snarky comments, and I'm like, no, you know what? I'll behave. I have to host this. I have to be respectable.
But like, I'll give you like one weird one, like a. You could take your chest. You could change the Arola on your chest. You can change how big and small that is. And I'm like, is that really a detail we needed? Okay.
So you could have like tiny nipples?
Yes.
Huh.
If you want to.
You know, this feels a lot like going back to WoW for a moment. They recently updated the character customization options. And so the first thing everybody did when the pre-patch came out is they went to the barbershop and got their faces all recustomized, you know, with all the new hairstyles and everything. And I did the same thing. And then I walk out of the barbershop and immediately throw my helmet on and I can't see my face. And so like, it feels like, yeah, you're giving yourself tiny nipples and you're playing with other parts. And I guess unless there's clipping issues, which does seem to be a problem, you're not really going to see. Although if you do tiny nipples, what are the odds they're going to clip through your shirt? Yeah. I guess you got to do like super big nipples to get them to clip.
There are mirrors. They show a lot in the game. So there is times you can see your character and what you designed. But also for WoW, that's why a lot of times when I do my armor stuff, my transmogs, I don't wear a helmet. I don't have a cape. I'm trying to show how awesome my character that I spent time designing looks. I like, right. Look, I spent work on this.
At least for Cyberpunk, there will be a multiplayer mode that just, again, don't call it a mode, but there will be multiplayer features, abilities, you know, a separate game, as it were, where you'll be able to take your character and actually put them out for other people to see. Because, yeah, it's weird to spend a lot of time customizing your character, and then, as you pointed out, you only get to see them in mirrors.
Mm-hmm. And really, another thing, like, move on to our first topic on Cyberpunk. Is when I saw the specs released back in, I think it was like April or March, maybe before that, of what my computer's going to need, I realized my last one was I needed to upgrade my GPU because it was an old Radeon 200 series, which is ancient. And so I had to change that. I had to change my motherboard. Basically just fully upgraded my, I have a brand new computer now. It's cost me a good amount of money, but computer runs a lot better now. And when I put in Cyberpunk, like besides some regular glitches and stuff, which is normal for day one games, been a fantastic, looks great. For consoles, which I know a bunch of people who got it for consoles, it's been a painful experience. Like, what have you seen on the, I think you have an article for this?
Yeah, and it's interesting because the problem is that, like, the PS5 and the Series X are still launch consoles. So they're in that period, like this is the smallest their install base is going to be. And not everybody that wants one has one. And plenty of people maybe have one, but it's sitting in a closet with some wrapping paper on it waiting for a few more weeks. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at this point, like, because it's a launch title for those consoles, it's also coming out on the PS4 and the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
And
the base model is that too.
It's brutal on there. It's just, it doesn't seem like they should have released it on those systems. At least that's my take as someone who's only seen the videos and the memes and hasn't actually played it on anything.
Yeah. It's very strange. Like, cause I was looking at some of the tests, apparently during some of the driving sections, people are getting like 20 frames a second, 30 frames a second. Like, I know there are consoles, but it's like, ooh, things are not loading in properly. Like, I saw one person's game where a person's like literally everything was a blur.
Well, there was one game where a person was driving and then they hit a car because the car didn't like pop right. in until they were on top of it. They may have actually hit the car and then it popped in.
Which can be bad because if you cause crimes, the police of that game will shoot you. And it's like, well, why did you kill that person? I didn't see them, officer. Seriously, yeah. They weren't there.
Yeah, I would hope that the police would not shoot when, you know, checking into a car accident at first before, you know, don't they at least have to, you know, determine fault?
I just start shooting at me when they see me do something stupid. I'm like, there was one time I walked down and like, you committed a crime. I'm like, what did I do? Why are you shooting at me? I literally don't have a gun out. I'm just walking.
Your nipples were too tiny.
Dang it. But yeah, I think it's a problem with how they designed this because like this game's been delayed so many times. It was originally developed before the PS4 came out and the Xbox One came out. So it's kind of like it's been a development for a long time. But with these new consoles and everything else coming out, they had, what was it, 9 or maybe more SKUs they had to develop their thing for. They had base PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S, PlayStation Slim, PlayStation Pro. Slim's pretty much similar, but it's a little bit better than a base one. Then the new consoles. And it's like, those also have their own higher-end model and base model. So it's just like, needed more testers, I think.
Well, you know, see, I don't know if it needed more testers necessarily because, you know, I think you get into a problem, and especially it's hard to criticize CD Projekt Red because to say like, oh, they didn't do enough work when you know that these guys were crunching on it for what, the last 9 months?
I mean, I'm not saying they didn't do enough work. I'm saying it's things coming out. There's so much that they missed that just.
Well, but the thing is, the thing about, you can have enough QA testers, and unless you have enough developer time to actually address all those bugs, like I'm sure that the QA testers had lists and to, you know, it's, I guess the thing is, it's entirely possible that maybe they only had one QA tester and the developers just didn't, you know, didn't know about stuff. I would think usually the bottleneck there, I think, is just developer time, is that there's just a ton of stuff that gets sent to them and they've got to prioritize, and they get to the point where like, yes, okay, is the game running? Yes. Is stuff popping in too late? Well, yes, but it's running and that's what's important. Let's, you know, if that car pops in a little bit late and somebody hits it, that's an issue we can work on later, because, you know, the main thing you want to prevent is crashes.
Yeah. And I'm wondering how much of it also has been affected by the COVID situations and stuff, like how much did that, working from home probably, and then trying to get like all those planning meetings and saying like, did we miss anything? Someone may not have been in a meeting when it's like, yeah, this part isn't working right over here.
You know, it's yes, yes. I mean, the last year of the game basically was developed under COVID situation. But this game was in development for like 8 years. So it's hard to say that it's like, you know, like it's hard to pin it all on COVID. Like, you had plenty of time, and you know, I think an argument can be made like, you know, you could have got it out in 7 if you had tried, but I don't know. I mean, again, I don't want to be too critical of them because they did crunch and, you know, they've got issues with the, you know, the workflow there. And I'm sure the developers all worked their hardest. I'm not saying they didn't.
Yeah. I will say, like, even my computer that's supposed to be a decently designed computer, Cyberpunk pushes it hard.
That's what it sounds like, is that it pushes the computers hard, but if the computer is decent enough, it's okay. It runs well enough. And then, you know, then you just get into some minor issues. I mean, there was that whole uproar over the mandatory sequence where the flashing lights that can trigger epilepsy or trigger an epileptic seizure if you have that or you're susceptible to that. And I think I just saw today that they finally went and actually put in a little a warning alert, which is like the least they can do.
Oh, that's good.
Because it's part of the story. It's you get, like, they put a headset on your character and they literally, like, the lights that they flash are the same lights that, like, it's the same sequence of lights that would be used if you went in to get diagnosed with epilepsy and they're trying to, like, force a seizure on you. And so, like, you know, there are some gamers who, you know, maybe, you know, didn't know that that was in the game, and all of a sudden they're just going along and then bam. And it's because it's part of the main story. One, you have to go through it, and two, it's not skippable. So the only thing you can do is
look away.
You have to know it's coming, and you have to, you know, avert your eyes and, you know, wait until it's over.
Yeah, which that hurt me really bad with that sequence because I had my all my lights off. So just all the only light I had was my screen. And I did not know that was happening. All of a sudden, like, oh God, my eyes. That is really bright.
It's, yeah, and I'm sure there's a level of immersion they're going for with that, but you know, that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of thing where that's not like a QA bug, like, yeah, oh, you know, they left an invisible car in, whatever. Like that'll happen.
It's a design choice.
There should be, there's somebody like for, you know, handling like accessibility and that type of thing. Like that's separate from QA. Like somebody needs to be looking over that and being like, whoa, like this is not, you know, like you, if you want that in there at the very least, you know, it needs to be skippable, or there should be a setting somewhere where you can be like, okay, turn that off, because that's, I mean, yeah, that you don't want to be giving people seizures.
Mm-mm. So I told my wife, I'm like, because I have a second copy of PC copying coming, because GameStop decided to ship my original copy I bought. Like, I bought it for the PC, digital download. And then I get a mail like, your package be writing on the 16th. I'm like, I bought this back in August. I always say April. So I had to buy it directly from GOG just so I had it ready for day one. So I have a second copy coming in that I'm going to let my wife play on her computer. Yeah. But then I thought maybe not, because she has seizure issues.
Ooh, yeah, you'll have to watch out for that with her. But you know what? Your delivery issues there—that's karma for you lucking your way into getting a PS5 out of nowhere.
Yes, very true. Except I can still be able to get a copy of Cyberpunk, where some people still cannot get a PS5 because it's a pain to get anything right now. It doesn't matter if it's a PC or a console.
I would say on the your score of gaming, you're in the positive. You're doing well. You got a PS5 and yeah, and you get two copies of Cyberpunk. But yeah, and then but other than that though, like, how are you actually enjoying the game? How are you know, like, going through it? Everything, you know, is the storyline fun? Is the combat fun?
I haven't gotten bored yet. That's what's it's like combat, it's like feels like a regular shooter. Like, I enjoy that. I like going between trying to figure out how to either, because it's basically like an indie RPG. You get to choose your stats, what abilities you want to put in there, how you want to do that. And since it's a cyberpunk, you have technological abilities. So I've chosen to be very intelligent, so it lets me hack very well. Be very stealthy, so I can sneak by things and hack things so people don't notice me. And then have a high, like, what was it? I have reflexes, just so in case I do a gunfight, I can use my guns better. But you can go through situations different ways. You can either go guns blazing, sneak by, or hack somebody to distract the villains and just walk by them. They're like, why is my stuff not working? Don't know. The only thing that feels kind of weird is the driving needs some tweaking. Like, it feels kind of like, I'll turn. I don't feel like it turns exactly with me like I want it to. Like, it's very floaty kind of feeling. Like, I'll put my brakes pause and it's like, I'm still going. Why am I still going? Come on, follow with me.
It's like you're hydroplaning.
Yeah, hydroplaning when there's no water.
There is water. It's just invisible. It hasn't popped in yet.
Oh, of course. But that's with every game. There's minor things that get tweaked, so I haven't had too many gripes yet or anything that's really, like, screwed me over. Actually, I lied. There was one thing that screwed me over. One of the NPCs has collisions issues. So, like, I was trying to sneak, and then the NPC snuck beside me, hit me, bounced me across the hallway in front of enemies. They're like, spotted you. I'm like, how did I get tossed? Just gotta reload my save real quick, because that was bullcrap.
See, but that's, yeah, those are like the minor things that, like, that'll happen.
And it's
as
funny.
Long as the game, as long as the game looks good overall and it plays well, I think, you know, it should be fine. I know it's gotten some lower Metacritic scores, I think, because of the performance issues on several of the systems, which I think CD Projekt Red has said that they are working on several patches to get it out, especially on the lower end consoles and whatnot, to fix some of that. I want to say, I can't remember if it was Patrick Klepek or Paul Tassi on Twitter, but one of the two of them had tested it on a few different systems, and they found that the best way to play it was using Google Stadia.
Really?
That had the best performance of all the different things. Like, obviously, it was better than the consoles. And I don't know if they compared it directly to playing, like, on the PC locally itself. But, yeah, they said apparently it works very well with Google Stadia, which is a surprise because Google Stadia, like, that's the first good thing I've heard about Google Stadia since before it was announced.
Yeah, the only good thing I've heard before about Google Stadia is from one guy I know who's a super Google fanboy. So everything he owns is Google. And I'm like, can we not do the fanboyism? It was like, is it actually good? It's like, yeah, if you have gigabit internet. I'm like, I don't even have anywhere close to gigabit internet in my area.
That's
like 100's the best I'm getting.
Yeah, that's where the lack of infrastructure in America really hits you. But presumably by 2077 we should have good internet. I would hope.
You would hope so, or if the Japanese take us over.
Exactly. Somebody's got to run all this cable. Somebody will get that done for us. But one other feature about Cyberpunk 2077 that we've alluded to earlier is that their multiplayer mode is not just a mode. And according to comicbook.com, they were talking about how, according to CG Projekt Red, the multiplayer is a separate, dedicated, and big production that will more or less be a standalone product. If this sounds familiar, it's because it's how GTA Online functions with GTA 5. CDPR's Adam Kaczynski said, we don't call it a mode. So that'll be coming out later this year. That'll have, I guess, you know, separate features. It will still tie back into the main story. It's not clear how. They haven't really said much about it beyond what we're hearing here.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll be similar to GTA Online, where they had, like, there was some, like, wasn't really tied into the main one, but you had some characters from the main story who, like, gave you missions or gave you stuff to do. So it's like, yeah, it ties the story. These people exist.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all fits together. They said, what is it here? I'm looking to see if they have a release date. They said, CD Projekt Red has reaffirmed this will change in the first quarter of 2021, which is to say sometime between January 1st, 2021 and April 1st, 2021. That's not saying it's a release date. They're just saying we're going to hear more about the multiplayer, first quarter of next year. And this is new territory for CD Projekt Red, which is both promising and worrying. It has the potential to bring new ideas to the table, but a lack of experience could also wind up hurting the final product as well. So that's all from comicbook.com there, those quotes.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when did GTA Online's launch compared to when the...
I want to say it was about a year. I think it was about a year after it came out.
I think that's right, actually. I think I felt like it was a long time before it actually online came. And it was, when it released, it was very broken. So looking at how things are going for the single player Cyberpunk, multiplayer is probably going to be very broken.
One would have to think they're not even going to begin to really lay into this too heavily until they get a lot of the bugs fixed and the performance issues fixed in the main game. Especially, could you imagine? It's one thing to be playing, with the, I keep going back to the example of the invisible car. It's one thing to be playing that in a single player game, but if you're playing a multiplayer game and like everybody else's cars are just invisible to you because the game, not only does the game have to then track on the server as far as keep track of where everybody is and where they're going, but then it's got to take the time to render that. Like, just think about all like the jumping and the rubber banding that you would see if you even see it at all, because it's like, I mean, maybe it'll actually work out better. You don't get rubber banding if it never actually renders the car in the first place.
Just see people just floating around on invisible cars.
Yeah. So I don't know. They need to get all that together, and I'm sure they will. This is one of those things where on the one hand, there was such hype for this game and everybody was so looking forward to this game. I mean, there was talk about this being like, a game of the year contender and everybody just had that kind of penciled in, this would wind up, like running the game awards, which we'll talk about in a moment.
It still might though. Cause like, even with like these performance issues, once you actually get down to the actual game, it's a pretty phenomenal game.
Well, it almost seems like since it was delayed to December, it wasn't eligible for this year's Game Awards. And I think if it was eligible for this year's Game Awards in this state, it would not be competitive.
No.
But if they have the time, let's say like around, if they get everything fixed by say like June of next year, then when it comes time to nominate things for the Game Awards next year, when people go to think of like, well, how did Cyberpunk play? They're not going to think about this part. They might remember it, but they're going to be like, oh yeah. But then, you know, once I got all the patches and everything, and by June I was playing through it and it was amazing. And it could, you're right. It could potentially, you know, start to win some categories there, you know, because of the work that was put in.
The next topic we go into, they ran into some troubles too with their game when it launched. And they had some issues, but people don't really remember that now.
Well, we'll get into that in a moment. We'll get into that in a moment. But yeah, actually let's get into it now, because I think we're pretty much done with Cyberpunk.
Yeah, we're beat it to death.
yeah. So let's get into the Game Awards then, as we've been kind of alluding to. So Last of Us 2 won a bunch of awards. It won Game of the Year. And that's what you're talking about. So the problem there is that I think people were so off put by some of the story decisions and the narrative decisions that they weren't rational in rating the game. And I think you could maybe almost argue that they're not rational in rating the game now, that people are like leaning into a little bit, like they're like, oh, okay, we were hard on it before, but now we'll be a little bit easier on it. I think it is now, and this is as someone who's not played any of these games, but just based on what I've seen of them out in the world, I think Hades should have been Game of the Year.
I do not disagree with you at all on that game. That game's a lot of fun. It's just more of it's amusing that some of the parts actually were like a problem. People did not like Abby. Laura Bailey won Game of the Year, one of like a voice actress of the year for playing Abby. They didn't like some of the story beats, and it got like story. It's like, all right.
Well, I wonder if it's one of those things where a lot of the people, a lot of the complaints too, were about, you know, the certain agenda about, you know, there were some social themes in the game that some people may not have agreed with. And so that may have automatically biased them against the game, as it were. But, you know, I think, you know, this is not to say that The Last of Us 2 is not a well-crafted game. I mean, it definitely is, and it definitely deserves to be in the competition. I don't think anybody's saying, at least I'm not saying, that it's not worthy of being considered a Game of the Year. I'm just saying, I think from what I've seen, Hades, especially for a game that seemed like it came out of nowhere. Like The Last of Us 2, you know, I think, you know, if you had talked to anybody at the start of 2020, you know, what games do you expect to be in the discussion for the Game of the Year at the end of it? You would have heard Cyberpunk 2077. You would have heard The Last of Us 2. You might have heard Ghost of Tsushima, but I don't think anybody was expecting Hades. Like that just came out of, you know, it came like a bat out of hell. And it really, you know, it got a lot of hype, but it, you know, and rightly so. I think it did some fun stuff with the rogue. The roguelike conceit.
I was really glad it at least got a best indie game of the year and best action game of the year went to Hades. But I think if more people had actually given a chance and played it, they'd find out actually how much of like just it was so much fun. I want to go back and play it again.
And
still play it.
What's interesting, what I find fascinating about that game is it had an ongoing narrative that transferred across your playthroughs. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, I'm just going to go in and I'm just, you know, and like, yeah, I mean, there've been games that it's like you go in and, you know, you play, you do your rogue run and then you die and you make progress in some ways. But like this really, it felt like it captured a spirit that, and people couldn't stop talking about it. I feel like it was like, was it August when it came out? Like August, September? Like everything, right. Everywhere I looked on Twitter was just people playing Hades. It was fascinating.
Is there any other ones you thought of from the Game Awards? Because like, one thing I thought was interesting is Among Us got best multiplayer of the year, which I guess like it counts even though it came out in 2018, and because it became blew up in 2020, it was eligible.
That's one of those games where it felt like this year is fascinating because like, yes, you had your standard tent poles, you know, like we talked about the Cyberpunk, well, not really Cyberpunk, but you had your Ghost of Tsushima, your Hades, your Last of Us, the single player games that were going to do well no matter what. But a lot of games were directly affected because of the COVID situation. I mean, how many people, how huge was Animal Crossing earlier this year?
I played a lot of it. I bought two copies, one for me and one for my wife. So
right. And did you play with anybody remotely, have any friends that were playing it, and you went to their camp?
I visited their house a lot.
Right. Because you couldn't visit them in real life. So you visited them in Animal Crossing. So like that was a big thing. And then you had, you know, you had Fall Guys come out, which I'll give them credit. That PS Plus deal, I think I'm not going to say that was the only thing. That, I mean, their game, it's just a silly online game. You know, it was only $20, even if you didn't get it through PS Plus. So I mean, it wasn't too expensive, and you're just goofy.
Yeah, I bought it on Steam, I did not regret paying $20. Like, sure, you got a $20 for on PS, like free on PlayStation, but this game was so much fun.
Yeah, and they announced season 3 of that during the Game Awards.
Yes, I want the narwhal costume. I love narwhals.
I still need to do my season pass on the medieval season, because I got the orc costume and I kind of stopped, and I'm like, no, I need to get back and working on that. But
best of luck. My wife got the Godzilla one and the Sonic costumes. She put in multiple hours a day leveling, getting it to get enough crowns to get that. I'm like, that's more effort than I want to put into it. I play WoW.
Right. Well, you know, I do that with Crash Team Racing. Like, I spent way too long grinding out, because I'm like, I want to make sure, like, when my kids are going to play this, I want to make sure they can play any outfit that they want, for any skin for any character. And so I'm going to sit here and grind this all out and make sure I can get all that.
That's adorable.
And I'm sure by the time they're old enough, they're going to be like, yeah, we don't care about your stupid racing game on the PS4.
Yeah, but I am glad that Among Us did get the multiplayer, and I think they got another award over here, best mobile game. Because one thing that was really special for this for me and my family, this let my wife's mother, who doesn't play video games, is not really interested in them. She played Among Us with us and her my wife's father. We all played it, and she killed us multiple times and stabbed us in the back. She was vicious. It was wonderful. Like, why don't you play games with us normally? You're really good at this one.
And that's the thing, is that you had Fall Guys, that was a big, and then Among Us came out of nowhere, and that, you know, again, I think these are all games, not to say that they wouldn't have been big in any other year, but I think especially in a year when people are looking for, you know, especially Fall Guys, it's just so light and cheery. And in a year which has been anything but light and cheery, like, that's the ultimate, you know, I'm just going to, you know, not even come home from work. That's the ultimate. I'm going to, you know, leave my computer and go sit on the console, or even just, you know, switch Windows on the computer and just turn my brain off a little bit game. And Among Us too, it's another way to let you remotely interact with everybody in a completely different way than you would in any other situation, because
absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Maybe you could play like a tabletop game where you have, you know, like you have somebody trying to betray the group, but it's not, it's always nice when you've got that layer of, when you remove that one step. Like, if you're all sitting around a table and you're trying to, like, not, you know, like you're trying to be sneaky and not, you know, have a poker face and whatnot. It's easier to have a poker face when nobody can actually see your face.
Mm-hmm. But looking over some of these more nominations brings up a problem I have with the award show. Because down near the bottom, there's a bunch of like esports ones and debut stuff. Like there's other bunch of categories. I watched the entire thing from pre-show to end, and I do not remember these getting over. It probably did. I talked about, but sometimes I felt like they went through certain categories super fast, like it didn't even matter. And then they're like, and now game announcements. I'm like, that really took over the category. It's like, cool, you won something. Doesn't matter. Let's go look at Sephiroth now being in Smash. Let's go look at Perfect Dark being brought back after 15 years. And then like, oh, look, Mass Effect. I'm like, basically overshadowed what the awards was going on. You know what I mean?
Did they show anything from Mass Effect, or did it just say Mass Effect will return?
They showed, it's basically just images from like a broken, relay. They had a broken relay, bunch of ship parts, but nothing gameplay wise. They showed an Asari, but you know,
I heard they teased and I was looking for that. Okay, so I didn't miss anything by not seeing that.
It's a cool trailer to go to watch, because you can just like, they give like a little voiceover. You're like, what game is this? This could be something else. And then it's like, oh, Mass Effect will return. I'm like, is that the title? I know it's not, but it'd be funny if, let's go play Mass Effect will return. Just kind of weird how they announced it.
Yeah. So, no, it's, you're right, because no other awards show mixes sort of, you know, like hype with the awards. Like you look at the Oscars, they're not interspersing in between the awards. They're not putting in trailers for upcoming movies. I mean, they might during the commercials, but like that's the commercials. That's separate.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're like, okay, like here's our best supporting actor. And now let's look at a trailer for, an upcoming Marvel movie. Like they don't do that.
No, because they know people are just going to watch it. Like
Well, even then, like, I mean, the studios, they know, and I guess maybe this is just a comparison of the industries, because like the other thing too is like today Disney had a big presentation where they laid out a ton of content for Star Wars and for Marvel and for other stuff. And like this was going on at the same time as the Game Awards. And so like you're trying to pay attention. You're like, holy cow, they announced the Ahsoka series. And also now there's what else was there that I saw?
Oh, I forgot. There's so much coming.
There's so much. Yeah, I can't. I'm looking at the awards. I can't even think of the announcements.
And the Spider-Man that's basically putting every Spider-Man movie character ever into
which
it.
Which I can't even figure out how that's going to work, but that's awesome. Yeah, there's Back 4 Blood, New Hood Outlaws, Legends gameplay trailer revealed. Warhammer 40K Darktide got a new trailer. Dragon Age 4 got a new trailer. The Callisto Protocol was revealed.
Which that is from the people who did Dead Space, right. Which I'm like, I love Dead Space, but still.
Isn't that the one that's also set in the PUBG universe?
I don't know about that. I had to double check on that. I just know someone said
that. Maybe that might have just been like a bad joke somebody made, but I didn't even know there was a PUBG universe.
I didn't either, but apparently there's a PUBG universe. But like, what's good when that got announced, whatever like award came before it or after, I don't even remember.
No. And I get it because, well, especially this year, because we didn't have a traditional E3 and it's like game announcements kind of got thrown all around. But even then, like this is standard, like the Game Awards being a showcase for things to be announced. That's how they've done that, you know, in prior years. And again, I think it makes sense if you look at like the gaming community that, I mean, this is what we do is, you know, like at certain points of the year, we gather around our PC or maybe, you know, nowadays if we've got like Twitch or whatever on our console, you watch it on our TV. But, you know, for a while there, you gathered around your PC and you tuned into the E3 presentations. You tuned into, you know, whatever gaming convention was going to have the announcements. And, you know, you sat there. And you got that all, you know, buzzed right into your brain. And it's like, we don't know how to have an event that doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Which and maybe in one, weird. Maybe in one way it's good because it's like, okay, like this celebrates our roots. It's not just a celebration. Like here's all these great games and everything. It's like, this is what we've always done. You know, you're going to watch the Game Awards and you're going to get a bunch of, you know, you're going to get that E3 feel when you sit down and you get that. But on the other hand, it's like, it does diminish the awards. It takes the focus away from them. Like, yeah, okay, we know about The Last of Us 2. We kind of knew that was like the front runner going in anyway. But yeah, it's, you know, it doesn't let The Last of Us 2 stand on its own. It's because it's like, we're so quick to be like, okay, out with 2020, in with 2021. And I mean, we've even pointed out that everybody's talking about Cyberpunk, which is going to be, presumably, it's going to be, you know, somewhere in the running next year.
Hopefully. But there's also the chance, because it released now, at least when the Game Awards came out, people might forget. There are a lot of times where games that came out right when this time frame get forgotten about for the awards. They're like, oh, yeah, they did come out.
Given how The Witcher 3 is still sort of in the conversation as far as being a great game, I think CD Projekt Red knows how to keep a game in the zeitgeist. Yeah. But
yeah, I don't doubt they will. I'm just saying that there's been other games that are just not as big that have gotten lost.
Well, all they need to do is make sure they have some like DLC come out in like October. And I think that should kind of keep it, you know, front of everybody's brain as far as being sure to put that in their nominees list. But yeah, I'm just scrolling through it. There's so many announcements that were made and it's just, it feels like it's a bit much.
Yeah. Cause even the article you posted me, the first stuff that comes up is not the winners list. It is, here's what got announced. Oh yeah, here's the winners.
Yeah. Well, that actually it depends on the article, because I'm looking at a different one and it's like, here's the winners, and then you have to scroll through that to get to what was announced.
Okay, so that's good.
That's a presentation thing, and it's entirely what you're interested in. But yeah, I mean, and they also too, they did have stuff. They had what, Eddie Vedder performed a song from Last of Us.
I like that part. Like that part was not bad.
That's cool, because that's a way to honor the game and honor, like, that feels like something that would happen at an award show. It's like, okay, like, here, you know, you're performing, you know, best song from, you know, here's a, you know, lead singer of a big band. So, you know, so that's cool that they do that.
Yeah. I did like them bringing the orchestra who performed the Mario music as well as Hades music and stuff. That was really cool.
Nice. That's cool.
Cause it was Mario's 35th. So they're like, hey, Mario's 35th. Let's play some Mario music. Like, I'd be down with this.
That's just so timeless.
Before we finish up here, one thing I thought was interesting in this, if you notice, they've released, they had Perfect Dark Zero, they had Perfect Dark in there, game you haven't seen it forever, and also a remake of Ghosts and Goblins.
Where's that coming from?
I'm like, cool, I actually like these games, but I didn't think I'd ever get another one.
I'm not going to argue with that. I remember playing that, you know, way back in the day and being terrible at it. So yeah, the fact that that's coming back.
And this, awesome. This Evil West game? Looks like freaking Diablo meets the Western. I'm like, I want to play this a lot.
I think they had a trailer for that. Unless there's another Diablo meets the West game coming out as well. I think they had a trailer for that somewhere else. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. But Super Meat Boy Forever got a release date.
Oh yeah, that too.
Road 96 was announced. The Elder Scrolls Online Gates of Oblivion was announced. It's just
Evil Dead's got a four-player game. It's got a co-op game.
Yeah, Among Us getting an airship map. Just Cause Mobile is coming out, and he's coming out at some point here.
Vin Diesel's in a video game again, and actually not playing.
That's not surprising.
It was just funny. Like, well, it's usually he's his own game. Like Fast Furious, got it. Riddick, got it. Ark 2, like, oh, okay, you're fighting dinosaurs.
Why wouldn't you fight dinosaurs if you had the chance?
Oh, no, that's not what I'm thinking. I just wasn't expecting it. I'm like, that actually is pretty cool, but didn't see this coming.
You know, if supposedly I think the Fast and the Furious franchise, I think is supposed to be ending after the next movie or whatever, where they go to space. But it feels like if they don't end it, like sending them through time to fight dinosaurs feels like the evolution of that series. That's where they should end up.
That's actually fair. Oh, now I'm just seeing them trying to steal dinosaurs and
exactly. I'll be curious. I know everybody's gonna have their thoughts, and like I said, I already think that you know, Hades should have won. It'll be fun to see in a few years looking back, like what should have won, or you know, which of these games held up. The Last of Us held up. I think Last of Us 2 will still hold up pretty well.
It's not like the year where, I think it was 2014, where Dragon Age 3, like Dragon Age 1, and it's like, was that really that great? Or was it was only the only thing that was actually decent that year? It was just such a poor year.
I don't know. The stuff going on with BioWare, it's just so... I don't want to say that it's all EA's fault, because on the one hand, it's like, if it would the like Hudson and Murrah have left?
Yeah.
If EA wasn't there. But on the other hand, it's like, I mean, the studios, you know, it's not, they're not a young studio anymore. And you know, they, I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see what they do with the Mass Effect. You know, I still want to see that Dragon Age. I need to get back into Dragon Age, because that was a good series.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's like
Anthem's going to be interesting to see when they reboot that. But it's hard to look at them and just be like, you know, it's that friend, and you're like, you know, you're going through a rough patch. Are you going to make it through? And you're like, I can only help you so much.
Yeah, I'm still the only person who apparently liked their last Mass Effect game. Everybody else I know is like, oh, that was terrible. I'm like, I had so much fun and thought it was great that I looked at the internet and they're like, this thing's terrible. Why did you buy that? I'm like, I'm sorry.
People were so quick to jump on that game for the graphical issues that I don't know if they gave the actual game a fair shake. Because you're not the only person that I've heard say, like, the game itself. Like, if you ignore the obvious problems and whatnot, like, the game itself was perfectly fine. And I think what's disappointing is, like, that seemed like it was setting up, like, another trilogy. And yeah. We probably won't go anywhere with that. They're probably, you know, whatever they're doing with the next Mass Effect, it's going to be something else. Hopefully.
They teased a bunch of, like DLC and stuff coming in. Because of how many people hate it, it never came to fruition. So I never got to see it. Like, I can't wait till they release that. Now I'm like, oh, 2020, still nothing. Yeah.
Oh. We'll have to see about that. But so as we said, The Last of Us 2 won Game of the Year. And over at Naughty Dog, Neil Druckmann was named co-president. Allison Mori and Christian Gierling become vice presidents of The Last of Us and Uncharted Studio, all according to GameIndustry.biz.
That's too surprising. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Druckmann has been in the vice president role for nearly 3 years and has been creative director on The Last of Us and the sequel. And he worked on Uncharted and Jack. I mean, Neil Druckmann's like synonymous with Naughty Dog at this point, so it's not really... This almost feels like a formality.
I mean, yeah, it's like, oh wait, you weren't the co-pro. Okay, I thought you already were.
So good for him to be stepping up there and getting recognized when, especially when the game is getting such recognition. But one other thing that will be recognized is Solid Snake in the upcoming Metal Gear Solid movie. Oscar Isaac has been cast as a Snake.
Not sure how, because he's got so much, looking at how many things he's working on. I'm like, how do you have the time? Like, I know I work on a lot of things, but that's a little different than working on multiple movies and shows. I'm like,
I forgot that he's Moon Knight.
Yeah, he's Moon Knight.
Which, and then Disney was announcing that today. They're talking about that at their presentation. He's already all over the place, and he's going to keep being all over the place. So good for him.
For anybody who doesn't know who Oscar Isaac is, what else is he working on? Because some people might not be aware.
He was Apocalypse in the X-Men Apocalypse movie. He was Poe Dameron in the Star Wars trilogy. He was in Ex Machina. He was in, there was the one Coen Brothers movie, and I can't remember what character he was, but he was like, it was about him. He was like this guitarist, like traveling through New York.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I had it, and then I lost it. He's also going to be in Dune.
He's in Dune. He's all over the place. So he's definitely in the prime of his career.
I'm kind of excited to look at this. Like, I imagine that, like, I don't know if Kojima won't have any involvement because, like, I hope he does, but with the way Konami and him are interacting, I'm not so sure. Like, I know Sony's producing it, so maybe they are allowed to bring him in for some questioning, but I am not so sure.
I just want to know what the Psycho Mantis sequence is going to be like, because when he shows up, is he going to be like, you were in Star Wars?
Is it bad? I have a bad thing, like, just like, some stupid movie one where like they like do like a Rocky Horror thing and just have Psycho Mantis come out of nowhere in the theater. Start messing with the audience members.
You got milk duds at the counter outside the theater.
That could be a lot of fun. One thing I had thing is about they called Metal Gear Solid its first start on PlayStation. I'm like, I guess we don't count the Metal Gear on Nintendo. I guess that one doesn't count.
Well, Metal Gear Solid started on the PlayStation. The Metal Gear franchise goes back, we're getting in the weeds.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely in the weeds. It was a small
But you're not wrong. I agree with you. Yeah. No, it says the script is written by Derek Connolly. Avi Arad is producing. He used to be the head of Marvel.
Oh, was he?
Although he was the head of Marvel. Although I think he was the head of Marvel when Marvel was kind of struggling. I don't remember. But if he's only producing, so I don't know if that's a big issue. Peter Kang is the executive overseeing for the studio. This is all according to Deadline.com.
Yeah. And they luckily chose the more normal one to start out with, because later on, Metal Gear gets super weird.
Yeah. Well, even then, I mean, there were parts of Metal Gear where you'd sit there for like, it felt like a half hour just watching cutscenes. So
felt like
this already feels like, yeah, like not only is it a movie, but they're going to have to cut down stuff. Like it might just be like Psycho Mantis only gets like a 2-second cameo. He might be like, I know you, you're, and then he's dead.
I know.
Yeah. We'll just nip that one in the bud. But, yeah. So, and let's see here. One other thing. It's, Jordan Vogt Roberts is on board to direct. So I'm not sure who that is.
They didn't link that. I can double check real quick on that.
Yeah.
There's times I wish I had Ednar, who's great at movies.
You know, I like to think I know my movies, and I don't recognize that name, unfortunately. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, as I think we all know that video game movies have a very hit or miss reputation. And it's frightening to think that like the one that hit the hardest was Sonic, but that apparently that actually did pretty well.
It was really good. So that was a real good film.
So we'll have to see. We'll have to see if Snake can live up to that reputation.
Okay, here's what he is. He's worked on Kings of Summer, Nick Offerman, American Ham, Kong Skull Island, and that's all he has for movies. Then he's in television, Funny or Die Presents, Death Valley, Mashup, and You're the Worst.
Good.
He also had apparently a likeness, only like a, he's also in Death Stranding.
Huh.
Which was like,
he might have been one of those people, like they had like Conan in there.
Yeah. Like, okay. That's what he was. He was like a film director in there. They used a likeness of him in there. Huh. Which I think is fascinating that he was in that and then doing a Metal Gear Solid.
Well, I like that he's done comedies because, like, I think like when you do comedy, you have to understand timing and everything, and it's easier to go from comedy to sort of more drama. Like, I don't expect this to be like, you know, slapstick Metal Gear, but I think he'll do well with pacing and timing and whatnot. So that should be.
Yeah, he also did Destiny 2 and Players Unknown Battlegrounds commercials. For their game commercials.
Well, good for him to step up to a movie. But I think at this point we can go ahead and wrap this up here.
Yep, so I think we're done.
I think we're done here. So I'd like to thank everybody for downloading and listening. Next week, coming up on the Mash Those Buttons Network, we have a ton of stuff next week. I think Jarrett, if he's not feeling well, he's definitely not going to be feeling well after next week, because there's a lot of stuff that's got to come out.
Oh, no.
But we've got a new Warcraft Reloaded, a new Clan of Three, a new Double Tap, a new Dropping Spicy, and a new Torn in the Goblin, a new Wondrous Tales, and a new episode of our new show, Night City Stories, with Ja and Bob. Are you on that one?
I am not. I get to play and not have to talk about it.
Nice. You can just play and just relax and enjoy it. You're not taking notes. And that's very nice. That's very nice.
You think it's easy until you start doing it. Like, oh, man, this is actually a lot of work to have to try to think of my ideas and thoughts.
The worst thing is that, yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, I like playing that game. I'll do a podcast about it. And then it's like, no, you have to take notes. And it's like playing the game becomes homework. Or like, I can't tell you how many times for the Torn and the Goblin, it's like I'm sitting down and I'm like reading like Wowpedia, or I'm like pouring through my copies of Chronicles, like, you know, like taking notes. And there's one book that came out for WoW just now. And the premise of the book is that it's notes by one of like the spy masters as he travels around. And so the book has like little like, oh, hey, here's like a document. And it's the page is drawn to look like a document shoved into the book. And then there's notes on the document in the book. And then I'm putting post-it notes on the document in the book. So it's very silly like that. But yeah, there's a lot of homework that goes into podcasting, but we don't need to complain about that now.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So Night City Stories, our new show, John, Bob, check that out. Talking about Cyberpunk 2077. That's coming up. And once again, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. If you want to keep up with what's going on with us and the Mash Those Buttons Network, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mashthosebuttons. Kura, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you?
They can have me on the Clan of Three, where I talk about Star Wars with Ednar, and Nick gives us the recaps every week. And find me on Dropping Spicy, where I talk about Apex. And then if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's on at Kurabaras, KURABARAS. And I'm basically just sharing my, like, whatever I'm feeling at the moment. What about you, Nick?
And I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on the Mash Those Buttons Network on WoW Talk, our Warcraft Guild and News show, and on the Torn and the Goblin, our Warcraft Story and Lore show. This week, we have Edinar from Clan of Three, from Dropping Spicy. He's going to come on. We talk a little bit about Bastion and just some other Shadowlands stuff, so that's a good show. Check that out. Also, as pointed out, I do the recaps of Clan of Three. There's only two episodes left of that, because The Mandalorian is wrapping up, although I think you guys have been saying maybe there might be a little bit more, which I don't know if we're supposed to be talking about that yet or not, but...
We will not announce or talk about anything until it is official.
Fair enough! Two episodes left in The Mandalorian, so check that out. The last episode was really good.
Oh, that was wonderful. These next two, yeah. I'm like... And also with the stuff they announced over the weekend for Star Wars coming out.
Oh my goodness. Oh, you guys are going to go off on that. Yeah. It's a good time. Good time to be a Star Wars fan. But, you can also join us on Discord at mash.gg/Discord. We love to have you join us there and come talk and join our great community. You can talk about The Mandalorian, talk about the Game Awards, talk about anything. That's what we're there for. We encourage you to reach out to us with comments or questions on Twitter or on the Discord, or email us at contact@mash.gg. And if you want to help us out, please share the show and rate it and review the show on your favorite podcast platform of choice. If you want to take your support a bit further, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. You can help support Mash Those Buttons and all our great podcasts for as little as $1 a month and gain access to patron exclusive content. Also, we have a Teespring store, which is teespring.com/mashthosebuttons. And you can also throw us a Twitch subscription if you want to support us that way as well. And stay tuned to hear about our other shows on the Mash Those Buttons Network. We already just talked about them. So I wonder, maybe you don't have to stay tuned. We just kind of went through all of them. But yeah, maybe there will be more. I don't know.
We'll find out. John will come in and I will cut out whatever he doesn't like we say.
He's going to rip this to crap. It's going to be like, thank you for listening.
What's that, weird?
Yeah, well, you know, but so I think we're done here. Thank you again, Kurabar, for coming on. It was great to talk to you.
Anytime.
Best wishes to Ja. I hope he feels better. Hopefully he'll be back next week, because otherwise it'll be me and maybe you again here to talk about stuff if he's not here.
I'm available. But.
Yeah, so we'll have to see about that. And thank you, everyone, again for downloading and listening. Have a great week and enjoy playing games.
Yeah, I'm going to go get my birthday cakes because it's my birthday in a few minutes.
Oh, why did you lead with that? Happy birthday.
I forgot until like right now.
Happy birthday. Go celebrate. Go treat yourself.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.